What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the Black Fat Girl Podcast. I haven't recorded a podcast since March of this year, and I don't know how I feel about that. But anyways, I'm going to get into this. I'm not even going to be fake and be like those people that are like, you know, I just needed so much time, like, Like, I'm not even going to lie to you. I just stopped. I didn't have time for it. High key, life was life and period. But usually I write out my podcast or like write out ideas, what I want to discuss, but I'm gonna freestyle this shit today because I definitely want to do it and I definitely want to just get everything out there. Anyways, yeah, so I want to start like a healing series on my podcast. So this is just going to be like the healing series part one, and yeah, once I'm done, I'll be done. So yeah, this is the healing series part one. Thank you guys for tuning in, of course, like I always do. But yeah, so something I've been realizing as I'm learning myself and healing and growing as a person is that your inner child is so important to learn about, because I feel like a lot of people aren't in tune with their inner child, and it's something that I had to learn how to do. And sometimes I even like find myself talking to myself or comforting myself, and then I sat back and I realized like, dang, like I'm hurting from things that happened to me when I was freaking 6 or 7 or 12, you know. And it really reflects and shows in my everyday life, in the relationships that I have with people, not even just romantic, but any relationship that I have. I can definitely sense some of the behaviors and like the reactions, the responses that I give are based on things that happened to me as a child. And so one way that I do comfort my inner child, or even speak to my inner child, is like when I'm upset, I definitely try to talk myself down, or not talk down to myself, but like when I say talk myself down, I mean like some people count to 10 when they're trying to relax or try to calm down. But if I'm very angry, I'll kind of like say the situation out loud and I'll analyze it out loud so I can actually hear how it sounds. Because sometimes I'm not going to lie, like, and this is why I'm healing myself, being transparent about it, sometimes I can be upset about the dumbest shit in the world, and in my head, like, of course, because I'm immature, the reaction is immature. So that means I need to turn that around. So when I say it out loud, I can kind of comprehend it better. So like, for example, I'm trying to think of something petty that really grinds my ears for no reason. But, so in relationships, romantic relationships, I would say that when I don't get my way, which is something that sounds very childish, and that's something I have to work on because that's literally not how life works, I can be very, kitty almost with my reactions and my responses, like not throwing a temper tantrum, but like I can like have a bad attitude. You know, if I say, oh, like, this is something I really want, or this is something I really want to do, or da da da, and it's not presented to me, then the attitude triggers. But then when I like get it by myself and I just like say the situation out loud, analyze the situation out loud, it's like, okay, girl, you tripping. And it's never that serious. And definitely, like, I would say, something I literally just realized, I think it was like 2 days ago, I was talking to myself. I talk to myself a whole lot, y'all, for real. But I was just thinking like, okay, so my birthday is next month on the 26th, period. And I was like, dang, I can't wait to my birthday. And then I sat back and I'm like, why do people do that? Why do we sit for the whole year and be like, dang, I can't wait to my birthday? And your birthday is 24 hours. So, okay, I'm thinking, this is 24 hours of a day that I can't wait to have. Why wouldn't I make that every single day for myself? And I told myself, I don't want to be a person who's like, dang, I can't wait till my birthday. I'm going to have so much fun. I'm going to have a great day. And then my birthday's over. So my birthday's on the 26th. Okay, boom. It's the 27th. Midnight. And my birthday's over. What do you do? You go back and say, dang, I can't wait till my birthday next year. Let's be realistic. That's a year away. So I said to myself that I'll not make every day your birthday, but damn near, like, I want to live a happy life. I don't want to put time on my happiness, because just like you have, dang, I don't know what they're called, but y'all know the timer things with, I guess it's called a timer. No, I'm pretty sure it has a name, but the things that have the sand in them and you like flip them when you play games and stuff. I feel like that's how people live their lives. Like, that's how I was living my life before I came to that realization 2 days ago. I know that was 2 days ago, but for real, listen, when you sit back and you count down to happiness and you count down to this or this or whatever it is that you are counting down to, you're missing out on the present, because you're so like, oh, can't wait till my birthday. Can't wait till next year. Or even not even your birthday. Oh, I can't wait till I have this car. I can't wait till I have this house. I can't wait till I start this business. I can't wait to have this degree. But it's kind of like, dang, like, I can't wait. I can't wait. I want to stop saying I can't wait till this happens and say, you know what? I can't wait till that happens, and I'm going to enjoy my life up until that point. If you get what I'm saying, like, I don't want to be I can't wait ass person, because then sometimes that will weigh on you and you find yourself sitting there like, oh, I don't have it yet, or it's not here yet, or, you know, like, I'm in college, I went back to school, shout out to me, and sometimes, like, in the beginning, I could see myself saying, like, oh, I can't wait to have my degree, and then it's like, you'll be in school, and you'll be like, oh, I just want this to be over, like, oh, I want this degree, but instead, I could turn that mindset around and be like, dang, I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying being in school. Because for real, like, I feel like I've always loved school anyways for a lot of very personal reasons. But even now, like, my classes, I feel like I'm learning. I love the classes. My professors are very cool. They're nice people. So I'm not just going day to day. I'm not miserable until I get my degree. I feel good. Every day I do my work, I understand it. It's things that I actually will use in life, and I actually like learning. So I feel like I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't wait till I'm done. I can't wait to get my degree. I can't wait to get my degree because I'm grasping so much knowledge. You know, I'm getting involved. I literally hold a position in a club, making new friends. Literally, I met this girl in the hallway because we started talking about car air fresheners, and I'm like, oh, okay, she was cool. It's just like little things in your life that you shouldn't put a time stamp on, because then you'll be waiting on that time stamp and you'll be miserable up until then. But yeah, that's just where I'm at with it. A lot of things I just need to work on personally. And I know a lot of people probably can relate. And you see how I be jumping from topic to topic, dang. But that time thing really stuck with me, because that's real shit. But like I was saying, healing your inner child, your behaviors that you get from being a child and that you carry on to you from trauma because you never deal with them. So even, for example, like, I was upset with my mom for a very long time. And I never told her why I was upset with her. But I told her the other day. And it felt good to get it off my chest. But the reason why I was upset with her, because I told her that I feel like no one raised me. I feel like I raised myself. I really feel like I didn't have any example. I didn't have my parents. And you know, it's like, we don't ask to be born. We're literally just born. And if our parents are broken when they have us, it's kind of like that brokenness is still there. Like, a baby don't take away your brokenness. A baby don't take away your pain. A baby don't take away your trauma. you know, like you still have that, and she still had that a lot of it once I was born. And I feel like that kind of transitioned into the environment that I was in. So then now I'm picking up your trauma. I'm picking up your trauma because you're traumatized. So the environment, the household is being traumatized from some things that you didn't heal and that you didn't fix before I came into this world. And I just told her how, like, I just feel like now as a 24-year-old, I'll be 25 soon, that I'm having to learn so much shit on my own because I want to learn it, because I had to go out there and figure it out and understand certain things about life. I didn't have no parents that sat me down and taught me so many things. And so now that I deal with trauma from my parents, it's kind of like, damn, like, I wish you would have got therapy before I was born. I wish you would have got some help before I was born, because now I'm dealing with generational curses that could have been broken. And so one of the things with my inner child would be abandonment issues. Huge abandonment issues. So now when I look at my romantic relationships and I look at breakups and I look at different things, that 6-year-old girl is hurting. So it's kind of like, so my dad, basically, that's where the abandonment issues come in, because he was so in and out of my life. So as an adult now, I let so many partners in and out of my life, because that's what I know. So that's why, that's something I want to work on, my abandonment issues and forgiving and learning to deal with relationships better, I guess I should say. Because, you know, a breakup can hurt your feelings, but if you're already dealing with abandonment issues, it's like, okay, I'm hurt as an adult, but that 6-year-old girl is also hurt that's inside of me, because she's like, damn, abandoned again, you know? I feel like that's a lot of times how I take things when relationships don't work out. I see you as that same scenario replaying when I was a little girl. Just like, okay, this is something that happened to me when I was little. So my mom, of course, we lived with our mother. We would go to our dad's house on the weekends. So he would get weekends. We would be with our mom through the week, of course, because we had to go to school. And there were some weekends where me and my sister, pack our clothes, you know, we're waiting for him to show up, waiting for him to come pick us up, and he wouldn't come. And so it's like, damn, you're the first person to ever in my life disappoint me. So as an adult, I'm probably gonna keep my guard up, because I'm not letting nobody not show up for me again. Or let's say I do allow somebody to show up and they let me down, and I feel like I take it so hard, because it's like, okay, I was already let down as a little girl, and you're letting me down again. So I'm really filled with rage. I'm really filled with emotion. Because now in my head, I'm going back to that time when I was 6. I'm going back to that time when I was sitting at the door waiting for someone to show up that told me they were going to. That's another thing. Okay, so he would literally be like, oh, I'm on the way. And mind you, we're not little girls. Like, we're not toddlers. But, you know, we still kids. So we sitting there, got our stuff packed, ready to go, and you're not showing up. And then we would call him. He'll be like, oh, I'm coming. Okay, it's around 6 o'clock. Okay, 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'm on the way. It's kind of like you've been on the way for a while. And then 8 o'clock. Okay, now it's 10 o'clock. And it's like, are you coming or not? Because, you know, we're kids. We're waiting on our dad to pick us up. You know, we come over your house every weekend. And you don't. And then that turns into, oh, well, I'll just come in the morning. I'll just come tomorrow. And it's like, I don't think parents realize that type of effect that can hold on a child. I know a lot of people, well, I don't, not me personally, but I'm saying, I know a lot of people probably still have things that were said or did to them as a kid that literally stuck with them. And they haven't healed from that. And they carry it with them as adults. So you're going to have a flashback every time someone shows you something that you've been exposed to, and it's going to hurt. And so now when someone doesn't come through for me, I feel like that's what I see. That's what I think about. I think about the first man that ever did that. The first person that ever let me down. I sat there and I waited for you and you didn't show up. And I feel like that's why when I turned 18, honestly, I asked my mom. I don't know why I asked her, but I asked my mom. I was like, hey, like, I just feel like I'm good on a relationship with that man. I'm good. I don't want one, and I'm not hurt about it. I just don't want it. It's not like, you know, I was hurting and just like yearning for a father-daughter relationship, but it was more so I was so numb to him to the point where like I don't have no feelings towards it. I'm nonchalant towards it. It doesn't bother me. I just don't want to deal with it. I'd rather, and this sounds crazy, but I feel like as a child, I would much rather have wanted an absent father than an in and out father. Because in and out, you're like, you're picking and choosing when you want to be a parent. When you're a parent every single day you wake up, you're a parent every single time you for the rest of your life. You're for the rest of your life, once you bring a life into the world and that's your child, you don't stop being a parent. So I'd rather you just not even be at all than to just be one when it's convenient for you. When you wake up and say, you know what? I think I'm going to be a dad today. I think that sounds good to me. But yeah, that's where those abandonment issues are deeply rooted. And just now, literally just this year, I'm trying to like really break them down and understand them and try to like heal from them. It's not easy because it's frustrating, because a lot of times you want to know why someone did stuff. When I was in therapy last year, my therapist gave me an assignment to really open up to my dad, I guess, and like talk to him and, you know, ask him anything I wanted to know. And so I sent him a paragraph literally asking him a bunch of hella questions about like why he did certain things and why he wasn't there. And also my dad, he did go to jail for something, but I don't want to talk about that on here. And I asked him about that, and he just didn't, his response was, I'm sorry for all your hurt. I love you. And after that, I was just like, you know what? I feel good that I got things off my chest and I feel like I'm forgiving him. But that was that on that. It was just like, you got it. You win. You got it. Because all of that long paragraph, and I asked you about 10 questions and you answered zero. And you told me that you're sorry for my hurt. Not sorry for your actions. Not holding yourself accountable as a grown old man. But sorry for your hurt. So after that, y'all, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna heal from this and I'm gonna move on, because it is what it is. It's okay. It's good. If you're not gonna, I can't, just because I'm healing, I can't make someone else heal. And that's another thing that I had to learn too. Just because I'm working on my shit and trying to understand it doesn't mean the person in my life or the people in my life are doing the same thing. So if I'm asking him questions and I'm trying to heal from the trauma of having an in and out father, and he don't have no answers and he doesn't really care to give any, I could sit back and be angry. I could, but what would that get me? What would that do for me? And that's what I was saying earlier about trying to bring myself down from the anger. Like, I could sit back and really go in on him and just be like, you know what, I got something to say. But instead, I'm just going to take the peaceful route and be like, I did my assignment from therapy. I'm working on myself. I can't wait on you to work on yours so I can get some answers. I can't sit back and beg and be like, hey, I mean, don't you want to answer these? Don't you want to tell me why? I can't, because you don't know how long you'll be waiting on something. So it's like, why pause my healing journey waiting on you to heal? And you're at the age you're at, and I'm at the age I'm at. I'm good. I'm going to move on. I tried that method. is cool. I might not ever get the answers I'm looking for, but I'm still content. That's the most important thing to me when I think about my healing journey and trying to be at peace with a lot of things, is like being content and just being okay with it. Like not literally being okay with it, but I'm good within myself and it doesn't hurt me the way it used to. So that's how I know I'm making progress. So that's really the main goal. Like, you, some things you just can't, it has nothing to do with you. And that's another thing, like, definitely with healing my inner child, learning that a lot of things that happen to me are out of my control and they have nothing to do with me. Because, like I said, I was mad at my mom for a long, long time. But when I learn about her childhood and learn about the shit that she literally had to go through and endure, my mom is 52 and told me, when I told her why I was upset with her, she literally was like, you know, I'm healing, I'm learning, I'm trying to grow now because I don't want to be hurt anymore. I've watched my mom be hurt so on multiple occasions and I never saw her heal. So I'm proud. I mean, there's never an age limit to healing. So it's like when I think about little me, now, you know, of course, at first I was very angry and I'm like, why did I have the childhood that I had? I didn't deserve a lot of things that happened to me. And then I look and I reflect and I'm like, okay, well, my mom didn't even have the proper environment, the proper foundation to really excel mentally. So I could be mad at her for the things that happened to me, but I can't because she wasn't set up properly. So that's why a lot of my anger towards her, I had to deal with and be like, okay, like, I love my mom. She really did do her best. She did the best with what she was given. Because if you're given an empty glass, you know, once you have kids and you pour that water into them, you don't have nothing to pour because no one ever poured into you. So you can't pour into others because your glass is empty. You can't fill mine. You can't be a good, and this not even bashing her or bashing any type of moms, but I'm being honest and this is my opinion. You can't be 100% for someone when you were only given 50%. The only way you can do that is if you heal, work on yourself, and then get to 100%, which I see so much of people that literally just have kids. Like, everyone's having them. Everybody is popping them out. And I don't think people understand that these are human beings. And I know that sounds bizarre, but seriously, if this episode dedicated to inner child, let's be real. We see a lot of people have kids, but the kids are people. They are people. Literally, y'all, when I was substituting, I was a substitute teacher last year, and being around those kids and like their dynamics, the language they use, the way that they operate, they're gonna tell you what type of environment they kids love to talk. They do. So the things that I would hear and things like that, it just bothers me when you bring a child into this world and you're not ready for that. You're not mentally ready. For one, kids are already expensive as fuck. So expensive. And then outside of financially, mentally, like, you're not even 100% where you need to be. But now at this point, a child is involved and in the world, and you can't, well, you can, but it's horrible, but you can't leave them hanging. You can't abandon them. You can't just say, fuck them. I mean, they're here now. But then the environments aren't healthy. And something else is like, not something else, but like, we're still on topic. When I was substituting, you know, you have those kids that don't know anything. And I'm not even trying to sound like, you know, but that's facts. Like, they don't go home and someone doing it, helping them with their homework. And that's kind of why, like, I took a step back from wanting to be a teacher, because I feel like I'm so compassionate and so, I can be so emotional, y'all. I'm a huge, huge crybaby. I swear I probably cry like twice a day. But substituting was enough for me. I didn't need to take it a step further. But literally, like, I had a little girl literally tell me that she needed, so we had a snack time in the classroom, and I had first graders and I had kindergartners. And so, you know, they would get one snack. So they would choose between chips or cookies or whatever. But I would have, like, there was a little girl and she wanted a second snack. But, you know, I'm like, okay, like, we can't do that. You know, we can only do one snack. And she was like, no, it's for my little brother because I want him to be able to have one. It's kids that go home and don't have food on their tables. And I feel like as a parent, that is a choice. Because when you got pregnant, you knew what was to come. Honestly, I don't understand why more people wouldn't be on birth control or use condoms. It's literally, you know, okay, birth control I can understand for sure. Because I've heard a lot of bad stories about it. But I feel like, why not avoid that type of responsibility if you're not mentally or financially ready for that responsibility? Because now you have a responsibility and you're mad. You're mad, but you decided to bring it into the world. So you have the people that don't help their kids with their homework. You have the parents that don't feed the kids, don't teach them nothing. And so teachers do not get paid enough. That's not even on topic with the episode, but seriously, because a lot of teachers are damn near being parents. People send their kids to school with their hair not combed. I be seeing teachers on TikTok that keep hair supplies in their classroom because they got to put the kid together. They keep extra food because, one of my students might be hungry. But imagine a teacher's salary. Then that means they need to get a raise. They need to double the salary or something. Because at that point, I'm raising your kid. And sadly, you can kind of tell, like, who isn't providing stability in the environment. Because it's going to show when they get to school. It's going to reflect when they get to school. And I think that's why, like, that's part of something, like, when I was talking to my mom about the things that made me angry. Because I literally was like, no one raised me. No one taught me any. No one prepared me for adulthood. So when I got out here, I'm fucking up because I don't know what to do. I don't know left from right. I'm trying to just figure it out as I go. But I feel like it would have been better if I had already figured it out. Not already figured it out, but knew something about it. I know, even now, like, I cry. Like I said, I cry so much. But as a kid, I wasn't allowed to cry. When I was a little girl, that was not something that you could do in my household. You couldn't be crying because they felt like there was nothing to be crying about. And I know, like, this is a joke in Black communities, but dead ass, that's low-key, like, sick. You know, like, oh, I'm crying. You don't got nothing to be sad about. You have a roof over your head. You had food on your table. You had clothes on your back. And so at that point, some parents, not all, feel like, okay, well, you got those three things. What you sad for? What do you mean? What do you mean what am I sad for? That's not my whole life. Clothes on my back? Okay, I'm still sad with the clothes on my back. A lot of parents don't take the time out to really sit with their kids and, like, hey, what's going on? Like, how is your life? So many parents, I swear to you, probably don't even know their kids for real. Like, they dead ass don't know their kids for real. Just because you know their birthdays or their favorite color, do you know your child for real, for real? No, you don't, because you don't spend that type of time with them. You don't create an emotionally stable environment for them to express themselves. So, like I was saying, there was no crying in my house. I don't think, well, I didn't really get whoopings. I probably got like 4 or 5 whoopings my whole life. But I definitely don't agree with whooping your kids anyway, because I feel like that's very, detrimental. I hope that's the word. It sounds like it. But listen, when I think about whooping your kids, I kind of want to be like, what makes you, how do you feel when you whoop your kids? Like, what goes through your head and what emotion do you have when you're whooping the kids? Because, you know, there's parents that will be like, oh, I'm going to whoop your ass. And it's like, when you say that to a kid, when you said it to a kid, because they probably were just being a kid, I'm gonna whip your ass. Like, what in your heart and your soul is like, dang, yeah, like that's it right there. That right there is gonna do it. You're literally putting fear into your kids. Your kids are scared of you. Your kids don't want to be around you anymore because you're always whooping their ass. And 9 times out of 10, they don't really need their ass whooped. Like, they probably need to talk to you. They probably just need a hug, possibly. They probably need a bath. They probably need some hot food on the table for once and not a Happy Meal. They're probably stressed out. They're probably sad because they don't understand their homework and you couldn't help them if you tried. But for some reason, you're going to whoop their ass. Just like that ongoing joke when people are like, if Johnny has 3 apples and the kids is like, I don't know. And then, you know, the parents like, if Johnny got 3 apples, when you get done yelling the second time, I don't know. And I definitely don't want to do my homework no more because you're really going too far. It's too much. And that's definitely the type of household I lived in. So now, like, trying to heal my inner child and just be a mentally stable adult with peace is just like some stuff I reflect and I'm like, what the fuck? Why was that the parenting technique? Why was that something that y'all wanted to do? And like I said, like, I could spend time asking questions and being in wondering, but I'd rather just heal from it and deal with it instead of trying to know. Because y'all already know. Well, I don't know. My audience, it could be mixed ages. But, like, people who are my age, like, 24, in their 20s, the older generation, you already know they're stubborn. We can't tell them nothing. We can't ask them nothing. And it is what it is. We ain't discussing nothing. Because a lot of times, they don't feel like they got to explain anything to us. Because I guarantee we could challenge the old people so much. We could literally challenge their way of thinking and their ways. And you know what they're going to tell us? Oh, you know, something else that blows me are the parents that be like, I don't remember that happening. I don't remember doing that to you. But I mean, if you say so, it's not an apology. Of course you're going to play like you don't remember, but if you say so, it's not an apology. There's no accountability in if you say so or that didn't happen. It did in fact happen. And honestly, if I'm thinking about it, if I ever, as a child, would have told authorities or any adult, I probably would have got taken away from my house. Guaranteed CPS would have been at my front door. But I feel like so many parents would lose their kids if kids really and truly, like, talked about things. Because a lot of times in households, it's like, what happens in our house stays in our house. Of course you're going to have that mindset because the cops will be at your front door, ma'am. Yeah. Now of course you're going to say it stays in the house, because if it ever got outside the house, I'm pretty sure it will raise hella eyebrows. It will raise hella concern for the kids. So all these things happen to you and you grow up and then you're like me trying to wander through the world and figure this shit out. And really understand and process, because I know sometimes, like, things happen to us and we never ever ever process it. We don't want to face it, but honestly, healing, you have to face it. You have to face it in order to get over it, because if you keep ignoring it like it never happened, but you're hurting because it did happen. And it's like you're running away from something, but at the same time, it's going to keep following you because you haven't really dealt with it. And I know some people probably don't know how to. I think therapy, I was totally against it, but I actually did enjoy it. I feel like journaling definitely helps. Meditating, sitting in some emotions. Like, if I'm crying, I allow myself to cry. I sit on my floor, I'll cry it out. I'll lay in my bed and cry it out. And then I move on. That's something else. I don't cry for the whole day. I'll give myself a 5-minute cry and then keep it pushing. Unless it's just like, oh, bitch, I need 24 hours. Give me a second. But definitely, like, a 5-minute cry and I keep going. But I know one thing that I faced that was so fucking hard was losing my grandmother when she was 96 years old, and she died last year. And that kind of broke me as a person, because the weight my grandmother held when it came to me was significant, and I don't think the relationship I had with her, like, no one would ever understand it, and no one would ever know, because they don't know things that happened to me. So my granny, I lived with her when I was a kid, and so when bad things would happen in my house, I would always run to her, and I would always say, can I sit in your room? Can I stay here with you? And she, every single time, she told me yes, every single time. So I felt like for a long time, like that was like my peace. That was like a guiding light, my protector in a way. Because when things were so bad, I knew I could run to her. So when she died, it was just like a little piece of me, like I said, going back to the inner child, that inner child was just like, oh my God, like I don't have that anymore. I don't have that anymore. And I remember one day I was in my dorm and I was crying and I was talking to myself and I was just like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to run anymore. You don't have to run to Granny's room anymore. That literally was so personal and such a moment for me, because I'm like, wow, like, oh my God, that little girl was just like, when I'm hurting, I'm hurting. And it's, I had to tell myself, it's okay, it's okay. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to. You're okay. You're in a new environment, which is kind of why I moved out of the city that I lived in. And I just went somewhere else because I needed to get away. I needed my own space. I needed my own place to heal, because I couldn't heal in that environment that was breaking me. And I told my mom this one day, that I told her, if I stay in this house, I'm gonna kill myself. And I meant it. I told her this house would be the death of me. And now that I'm away from it, I can learn myself. I can grow more than I could ever grow in that house. And I actually did try to kill myself, I think 3 times. But I want to talk about that on another episode, because that's something I really want to get deep into. But I don't want to talk about that right now. But yeah, when my granny passed away, that peace, I feel like I lost it. And so now I feel like I'm finding it. And I know I don't have her anymore. I mean, that is the reality. That is true. I don't have her room that I can run to and when I'm scared or when I'm sad or when something's going on. And now I'm trying to create that for myself, create that peace so I don't have to run, create an environment to where I can be emotionally stable so I don't have to hide. Because that's what little me would do. I would either run in her room when she was in there and be in there, or there's times when I had to run and hide in my granny's closet, hoping that nobody would find me, hoping that nothing was gonna happen to me or happen to anybody else in my house. But yeah, I definitely feel like healing your inner child is so essential to navigate in the world, mentally navigate in the world. And mental health and mental stability, I feel like that's always number one on my list, because if I'm not right up there, I'm not gonna be right nowhere else. And I feel like that's something that people should really take into account. Like, how am I doing mentally? Because when you're not mentally right, you're not gonna get out the bed. There's times when I didn't want to get out the bed. I couldn't move. I was numb. I wasn't me. I'm not gonna do my assignments. I'm not gonna get up and eat. You're not even gonna eat. You don't even wanna think about nothing. Mental health, like, that affects your finances. You're gonna be blowing your money, or you might not have any money or a lot of things. So definitely, like, mental health, top of my list, always, 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 always. Because I know for 18 years I was in such a, well, not even 18 years, because I moved here where I live now when I was 22. So 22 years of brokenness. And now I'm trying to fix it. So But I know when I'm in a good mental space, my life flows better easily. And another thing that I try to do to really heal my inner child and with myself is having my relationship with God. Talking to him. When I wake up in the morning, I pray. I don't like to touch my phone or my computer or anything else. Like, pray. And then when I'm about to go to sleep, I like to pray. And not when I get in the bed, because y'all don't be going to sleep when y'all get in the bed. I know I don't. But when I feel myself dozing off, I'm like, oh wait, like I need to pray. Because my relationship with God really gives me strength every single day to keep pushing and want to be my ultimate self, my best self. Listening to gospel music. I worked out to gospel music last night. Y'all, wait a minute. First of all, I worked out to gospel music. But when I was stretching before I worked out, this song was playing. And when I tell you I started crying, luckily nobody was in the fitness room with me. But I bust into tears. I'm like, oh my, I'm really catching the Holy Spirit before I worked out. But honestly, it got me through my workout because I wanted to give up so many times on that elliptical. But honey, I kept pushing. But in all seriousness, like, my faith in God is really strong and is growing every single day. Because I know so many days I'm like, ooh, Lord, like, I need you, God. Like, sometimes when I'm having a bad mental health day, I literally ask God, like, hold me. Hold me, please, because I'm not okay right now. But yeah, like, heal your inner child. That's the message for this whole episode. Heal your inner child. Be real with yourself. Face your problems. Deal with your problems now so you're not 45 still trying to heal from something when you were 7. Like, go do it now. Don't wait to have good mental health, because that's important. That'll get you through. That's going to get you through every single day that you wake up. But thank y'all for tuning in. This is only part one of the healing series. I think the next part I'm going to get into my suicide and tell y'all like about my self-harm and stories and things like that, because I feel like that's a lot of things that I do want to talk about because it is important. But yeah, thank y'all for tuning in. Of course.